At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is the Adam Carriker Show on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
All right, welcome back in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show, where we have segments where I can barely talk, and that was the first segment, but Jake saved the show, so thank you, Jake. All right, now one of my favorite things I get to do each and every week, bring on former Huskers, bring on former teammates, and we get to talk trash, spill the beans, and have a whole lot of fun. All right, we're going to bring on a former three-time All-Conference performer, including first-team All-Big 12 in 2008, former offensive lineman, one of my former teammates, Mr. Matt Slosson. How you doing, my friend?
Adam, I'm good, man. How are you doing?
Dude, I'm glorious. I appreciate you taking the time to join us. So I'm going to hit you hard right out the gate. All right, Nebraska's offensive line. Why couldn't we run block versus Purdue? What is going on up there?
I got to think there's a lot of reasons for it. But I think in just broad strokes, I just think that, you know, we're really early in the Matt Rhule process here of resetting this program, resetting this culture. You can nitpick here and there about techniques and schemes and, you know, what guys aren't doing well and, you know, play design, whatever. But I don't really like to get into all that part of it because, you know, you can kind of get lost in that storm a little bit. I just think expectations got really high for us after the Colorado game, almost to an unrealistic area. And I think, you know, the last couple games we got to see really kind of where we're at right now. And it is disappointing. But we have to remember what we've just come from for the last, you know, five or six years or so. And we are having incremental improvements. So I like to take that as a win.
All right. So we're not able to run the ball as well this year as we were last year. We were number two in the Big Ten in rushing. We also had to run the ball because we couldn't throw the ball very well last year. So we were obviously going to run more, which jacks up the rushing stats a little bit. We can throw the ball much better this year. So in fairness, it goes hand in hand, goes both ways.
Well, and our quarterback runs kind of skewed all those numbers, too.
Yes, yes, to be fair. We're looking at all sides of the equation, looking at the whole picture, not just the corner. But one other thing I have noticed, we are not run blocking as well. When we run the ball, we're not as effective because we should actually be able to run a little bit more effectively per rush because we can keep the defense off balance with our passing game. But the one thing I have noticed is we didn't protect the quarterback very well last year. We are protecting Dylan Raiola the best we protected a quarterback probably in 2, 3, maybe 4 years. So what are your thoughts on the pass protection and the improvement up front on the offensive line protecting our quarterback?
Well, I think for the most part, our inside three are doing a tremendous job, in protection. I think our tackles are still struggling, especially on the right side. Again, I don't want to talk bad about anybody. But we are at least giving help to that side a lot, you know, whether it's tight end chips or whether it's, you know, running back help or chips before he gets out in his route. So that is huge for us because we can't have our young quarterback running for his life. That's a great way to confuse and potentially ruin a quarterback because then he's not able to progress mentally as he should. And by the way, I think Dylan is doing a tremendous job in there. I love his poise and his composure no matter what is going on. It doesn't seem like things rattle him at all. And I think his demeanor is well beyond his years. I've been very impressed with that. Back to the protection side of things, like I said, we are much improved in that area. In the running game, I think it's just a matter of physicality. Unfortunately, you and I played together and we kind of bridged that gap between the old ways and the new ways. you know, physicality was never an issue when we played, you know, 100 years ago.
Thanks for rounding down. Now,
but it really seems like when we have teams that aren't afraid to come in and punch us in the mouth, it makes things tough for us. And you know, it's a little bit disappointing, but again, we're in the midst of a culture reset here, and that will come. So unfortunately, I don't think it's happening now.
So for me, it's hard to be really good at everything. So yeah. I look at this logically, and I'm like, all right, we have obviously spent more time on pass pro than we probably did a year ago because we're noticeably improved. So we probably couldn't spend as much time on run blocking and being aggressive and exploding off the ball and striking the defender in our run blocks and combo blocks, things of that nature. So maybe that's why we're not as effective running the ball and knocking people backwards as we were a year ago, even though we have a lot of the same offensive linemen back and we have other guys we brought in. And the Micah Mazzucca thing's a whole topic for another day. But my question yeah. for you is, do you think it kind of goes hand in hand? You improve in one thing, maybe you can't spend as much time in another thing. Does that make any sense to you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it 100% does. When it comes to protection, though, you know, to kind of play devil's advocate here, or counter to your point, protection doesn't change a whole lot. Mm-hmm. When you work on pass protection, the same techniques and principles apply. It just changes who you're sliding to, who you're working to, where your help is. But pass sets, I mean, you have a range of like 4 total different types of pass sets at every different position along the line. And from what I see, what it comes down to is just our strikes. You know, our strikes aren't really there. We're doing a lot of grabbing. You know, we're setting back and we're doing a lot of grabbing. And luckily, our offensive line is giant. So that's been working out great. Mm-hmm. But it worries me once we get into the meat of our Big Ten schedule, which we're in now. You know, there's a lot of physical teams in the Big Ten. It's as close, in my opinion, to NFL football as it gets compared to every other conference out there. And there's some big physical defensive lines, linebacking corps, that are going to come in and punch us in the mouth. And we can't afford to be grabbers. We have to be strikers. We have to bring the physicality to them, to those types of teams, to, you know, like in Iowa. You know, Iowa has very physical defensive play. And when it comes down to it, physical versus physical, we just aren't there yet. We need to find a way to get there fast. And in my mind, that comes from the running game. You know, so what you're talking about, and I do agree with you, that we're spending a lot of time on our passing game, as we should. Rail is, you know, proven to be a very competent quarterback for us. But physicality comes from the running game, as you know. And then that can then translate over to the passing game. Right now, we're kind of lacking in the physicality side because I think we may be spending too much time on the passing side of things.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
I think you make a lot of good points. The one that stands out to me from a defensive line perspective, guys who would, you know, kick step and they'd want to grab or they'd want to keep their weight back, those guys never concerned me. Okay. And right. One of my strengths was my strength. So I could just drive you back into the quarterback. At some point, you're going to set down. I can yank you on your face, rip or swim by. That was always my attitude. The guys who could come out, do usually a quick kick step and punch initially and strike mm-hmm. me. Those were the guys who caused me problems. Now, the question was, could I counter? Could I get your hands off me? Could I get you off balance before you got me off balance? But the guys who always concerned me more in pass pro were the guys who were physical initially at the point of contact. And that's what you're saying we need to get a little bit better at. And I totally agree with you. Like, and we are running the ball 52% of the time, passing the ball 48% of the time, so we're relatively balanced. I was just hoping we could maintain the same level of effectiveness in running the game, in the run game, and then just hopefully elevate the pass game just a smidge to maybe a little bit more than a smidge. And I was hoping we could kind of do that hand in hand this year. And obviously the pass game has improved vastly. Hopefully we can get the run game back going. I just, when I watched this versus Purdue, one of the worst run defenses in the entire freaking country. 130 out of 133 teams, dead last in the Big Ten. That frustrated me. Now, we won the game. We're 4-1. I ain't going to complain about that. Our best record after five games in a half decade or more, and you can see areas where we've vastly improved. I look at the offensive line, and for years, coming into a season, I would use the word potential. They got the potential. They got the potential, which means you got the ability to do great things, but you haven't done anything yet. And I flat out said in the offseason, I'm sick of using the P word with the offensive line. I'm going to use the E word, expectations, because we have all this experience, the fifth most experienced line in the entire country. And I said, I expect, and the most tenured assistant coach of anybody on our staff, at least here at Nebraska under Matt Rhule, Donovan Raiola in year three, I'm like, it's time to expect certain things. I don't know. Was that a bit unfair for me, knowing that we're still in year two under Coach Rhule and the staff as a whole? But that was my attitude coming into the season under Raiola's third year and all this experience up front on the offensive line.
No, I don't think it's unfair at all to use the P word or the E word. You know, expectations, that you hit the nail on the head. But the problem is, when you look at the statistic of one of the most experienced lines in the nation, look at what that experience has been over the last 3, 4, 5 years.
That's a fair point.
So yes, we do have a load of experience, but I wouldn't necessarily call it successful experience.
Yep.
So I think that's what people need to kind of have in the back of their mind. We are improving, we are getting better, and we do have a boatload of those guys back. But we've seen who those guys were over the last handful of years. Mm-hmm. And I think that statistic can get easily skewed when you just throw out one of the most experienced lines in college football.
That's a fair point.
Yeah. So like I said, I think Donovan's doing a great job having Matt Rhule as a offensive line guy. You know, we had that when we were at Nebraska with Callahan. We had Dennis Wagner as the offensive line coach and Bill Callahan as the head coach, who was an offensive line guru. So I think that's also part of it. The fact that Rhule has now come down to the offensive line and say, hey, we're getting this right. And him and Donovan are able to work together on our offensive line. And that's why we are seeing improvement. We all wish it was better. We all wish it was bigger steps. But I've been just so down about the program for the last handful of years that now I'm choosing to look at it and go, even a little step is still a positive step. So let's just keep focusing on the small positive steps and just keep it going. And, you know, I'm very hopeful for this year, but I think 7 or 8 wins is a big positive for us. I would love for us to be, you know, in that 9, 10, 11 range, but I don't know how realistic that is. Next year, yes, absolutely. Those are my expectations. But for this year, I just got to keep myself kind of in check and be like, the bigger picture is what we're building towards, not what we're doing right now today or this week or next or this month.
No, that's a phenomenal point. And it's interesting because Oklahoma State, their offensive line, talking about experience coming back. A lot of people had high expectations for Oklahoma State. And I was personally intrigued by them as well. They had 10 returning starters on offense. They had the nation's leading running back, Ollie Gordon, returning as well. And their offensive line, if you just look at starts and the most returning experience, is the most experienced offensive line in college football history. Yet they're sitting here at 3-2. And I watched the Arkansas game, which went into double overtime. They won. They really should have lost. They got outplayed at home on their home field. So they're 3-2, could easily be 2-3. So you make a great point about all experience is not created equal. It depends on what that experience is. So that's a very fair point. I do have a question, though, because I remember when Frost was the coach and he would say things in front of the microphone and I would cringe, okay? And the reason I bring that up is Matt Rhule's phenomenal in front of the microphone. But he said something last offseason. He said a couple of things, but he said one thing that stuck out to me and I was like, oh, that reminds me of Frost. Don't say that. Like, don't shorten your own timetable. He said it's year two, but it feels more like a year three to him. And I can't help but wonder if that maybe changed people's expectations as well because people know what happens in year two under Matt Rhule, and people know what happens in year three under Matt Rhule at places like Baylor and Temple. People are like, oh, Coach Rhule's saying this. Do you think that maybe played into expectations just a little bit from this past offseason as well?
You know, I think it could. I think it definitely could have. But as you know, the marketing department for the Husker Athletics Department is phenomenal. I mean, they make everybody in this state and really Husker fans worldwide feel like we're off-season national champs.
That is the truth.
And I love that. I love that about them. They are very good at what they do. And Rhule being the talker he is and the motivator, you know, I think the language used between him and our marketing department, you know, got us super jacked right out of the beginning. I don't think it was enough to really change things expectation-wise until that Colorado game. The absolute destruction in that first half, I think, got everybody kind of looking at this going like, oh my gosh, we got something going on here. And then you hear, you know, national sports media talking about how Nebraska is the real only threat to Ohio State. And if we can find ourselves there in the dance at the end, we can back our way into the playoffs and potentially be competing for a national championship. I think that was the biggest, you know, kind of inflammatory language when it came to inflating our expectations. And it just wasn't real. It wasn't realistic. Rhule is doing a tremendous job. Our team is maturing and we are forming a winning habit. As you know, winning is a habit, but losing is also a habit. And unfortunately, for the last however many years, we've had a losing habit and Rhule is changing that. It's just, it's got to take a little bit of time. You can't do it overnight.
Yeah, I completely agree. Dude, you made a lot of phenomenal points in this interview. And it's interesting what you say about the national media kind of coming in and saying 7-0 or maybe getting in the college football playoff and all that. What's interesting is like guys like me and guys at the Ticket and other guys in this state who talk about the Huskers all the time, you know, we're in a different, like we see it every day. We have a little better idea of what's going on. Obviously they're great at their jobs, but it's easy for them to come in and say that, oh wait, Nebraska lost to Illinois, another close game, another close loss to a ranked team. Oh, we just won't talk about them anymore. We're out. They don't have to deal with, you know, the expectations that they created. They can just leave and don't have to deal with it. Whereas we're like, yo, like, let's be more realistic about this. And not that we had no idea after the Colorado game. I still say, I don't know what to make of this team. And that's half the fun. And I'm here for the process. I say that like every day. Like our ceiling is 9 wins and our floor is 6-6. And we're 5 games in. That's the type of stuff you say in June, not after you've seen 5 games. So I'm here for it all. But I sometimes get rubbed a little raw from people on a national level who just like, all right, boom, let's talk about them. They're exciting. That'll get clicks and views. Oh, they lost. We're out and we don't have to deal with anything. And we're here trying to keep as best we can, you know, give our honest answers and honest expectations. And it's such a challenge. So yeah, at times.
I think you're 100% right. You know, the way the national media operates is they're based off of clicks. They're based off the shock value of it. So when somebody out there says, you know, Nebraska's a dark horse for winning the Big Ten and backing their way into a playoff, you know, that's going to excite or enrage a lot of people. And that translates to sales for them. So when Nebraska takes a bad loss to an Illinois, then you're exactly right. The national media is like, okay, well, that's all done. So we're out now. And yeah, all of us are left here in this state feeling like we're kicked a little bit. Like, hey, you gassed us up here and then you just left us hanging. Like, you know, people have to look at the reality of our program and where we've been over the last six years and really critically look at it and think about it and go, you know what? Things are still on track. You know, the sky isn't falling. We're still on track. We just need to keep growing and getting better.
Hey, man, I appreciate you taking the time. I think this has been a phenomenal interview. I appreciate your insight, and thank you. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, Adam, I always appreciate it.
All right, man, have a great day, and don't go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.